will, open your Bibles now to Romans chapter number 8. Let's go ahead and get on with our study here. Romans chapter number 8, we're going to pick up where we left off here, verse 18, last time. Yeah, in fact, I'm going to go back to verse 17. He says, "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope, for what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." Let's have a word of prayer. Our gracious God and Father, we're grateful that we can spend some time again this morning looking into your word and allowing your word to remind us about eternal things, about important things, about what life is really all about. And we pray that as we really journey through this life, through this adventure of life, just as pilgrims almost and strangers wandering about, that we would remember who we are, who you've made us to be in Christ, remember where our home is, our eternal home, our long home, that you have made us to be ambassadors for Christ, and there in this, and therefore in this present evil world, we have an opportunity to walk by faith and to indeed look forward to that glory which shall be revealed in us. Well, thank you for this in Christ's name. Amen. Last week when we were together in continuing our present series, we talked especially about this issue of glory. When he noticed the Apostle Paul at the end of verse 17, at the end of verse 17, he brings up this issue and he says that we may be also glorified together. And really, he continues along with that theme about the issue of glory, verse 18, 19, really all the way down through this section here. If you'll notice, we didn't read the passage, but if you'll notice a little bit further ahead, watch over verse 29. Verse 29, he says, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, then he also glorified." There it is. You see how he picks up and carries that theme all the way through? He begins at verse 17, glorified together, verse 18, the glory which shall be revealed in us, the waiting part, we're waiting for the redemption of our body, and then whom he justified, then he also glorified. Paul really is picking up on this theme here about not just the sufferings of this present time, but the glory that shall be revealed. And his point is that when, even though we are experiencing the sufferings of this present time, even though we groan and travail in pain together until now with the entire creation, that there truly is glory coming. It is this plan and purpose that God has called glory. He's called the Father of glory. It's his plan and purpose to glorify Christ. And you and I are by virtue of being members of the church, the body of Christ, we're actually in that plan. That's incredible to think about that. All right. So last week what we did is we looked at a number of different verses where the Apostle Paul talks about that issue of glory. Glorified together. The glory which he planned before the world began. Salvation with eternal glory. Then shall he also appear with him in glory. So we really kind of looked at a lot of verses last time. If you were not with us, I would encourage you to go and listen to that message from last week and you kind of get up to speed with where we are right now. So what we're going to do then today, we're going to just continue to look at the verses, continue to go down through Romans 8 here. And you can see that the emphasis here at this point is not so much on the suffering, but rather the reality of the glory. Now, Paul doesn't deny the sufferings of this present time. He acknowledges, he confirms them. He tells us why they are here, why we experience them, and so forth. But more importantly, his point is to have us see by faith, to have us see with the eyes of our understanding to see with the heart of belief the glory which shall be revealed in us. And to remember that though the sufferings of this present time, they are real, they are here, it's now, you don't have to deny it. It's just not even worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. So let's pick up then, therefore, at that verse. This is how Paul looked at it when he says, verse 18, for I reckon. When I say this is how Paul looked at it, I don't just mean this was just his opinion. This is how faith should look at it. He's reckoning this based upon the doctrine. All right? You recall, I'm sure, that that's not the first time the Apostle Paul uses that word, reckon. If you'll go back to Romans 6, verse 11, he says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ the Lord. Remember that when we talked about that verse back then, reckon? Reckon is an accounting word. It's like you add all the columns up, you add all the income that's come in, and you add all the expenses that have gone out, and you realize you got to file bankruptcy, right? Right? You realize you're broke. Well, I'm saying the word reckon is like it's an accounting term. You add everything up, and here's what the bottom line says. You're either in the red or in the black, kind of a concept, all right? Reckoning, that's God saying, I need you to add all this up, and I need you to come to the conclusion that I come to, God is saying, when he uses the word reckon. See that? Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed in sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. In that verse, God says, okay, when I add this all up, I've made you dead to sin, I've made you alive unto God, so that's what the accounting says. That's what the books say, all right? And so God says, I need you to come to the same accounting conclusion. So we have to use God's accounting system. If you'll take that same principle, the idea of reckon, you take that same principle with you over to back to chapter number 8, verse 18, where the Apostle Paul once again uses the word reckon, that same concept. We are to use God's accounting principle here. We are to use His math, if I can say it that way. His calculus, His physics, whatever you want to call it. We're to use His math. And His math is this. Look at verse 18, Romans 8, 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. When God looks at the nature of the sufferings that we experience, and God looks at that the nature of the glory which shall be revealed, and He adds the two up. He says, okay, you add up all the sufferings of this present time. The fact that it's real, it's here, you experience it, you don't have to deny it, you're in it. You add all that up, and it equals this. It's the sufferings of this present time. And then you add up the glory that shall be revealed in this. You add up the reality of it, the fact of it, the eternity of it, the weight of it, the majesty of it, the beauty of it, that it's all in Jesus Christ. You add all that up. And he says, it just doesn't even appear on the same page with the sufferings. You can't, it's not even worthy to be compared. You see that? Now, in order to do what that verse says, number one, you have to believe God, not only about the reality of the sufferings, which that's generally not so hard to do because you experience the sufferings, right? But you have to choose to believe God about the glory that shall be revealed. And that's one reason why last week when we did this, we looked at so many verses about the glory, the fact of the glory. The glory He prepared for us before the world began. That salvation with eternal glory. That we're going to be glorified together. When Christ shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory. That's one reason we looked at so many verses about the reality of the glory. God has got this plan called glory. And as you look at the glory, you choose to account what God says it all adds up to, because it all adds up to something. It all adds up to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, all right? When you look at that glory, you add it all up, and you come, if you use God's accounting system, then you have to come to the same accounting conclusion, the same conclusion He comes to, and that is, it's just not even worthy to be compared with the sufferings that we now experience, all right? Now, what I want you to do then, if you'll hold that, look at Romans 8, 18 again. He says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. I want you to hold that verse, and I want you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Again, a passage that you're all very familiar with. But let's put these verses together And you'll see how the one verse helps amplify or explain or elaborate on the other. All right? So look over to 2 Corinthians 4, but hold on to Romans 8. 2 Corinthians 4, and look at verse 16. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16 says this, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Now, when you think about those two verses together, what you see is how the one passage helps amplify the other passage. So go back with me, if you would, to Romans 8, 18. Let's start there, but hold on a second, because we're going to come back there momentarily. Look at this. Look at Romans 8, 18. He says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of," see that next phrase there, "of this present time." Okay, so stop there. You don't need to read the rest of the verse. Let me just ask you some things about the sufferings that Paul is talking about right there in that verse. What do we know about the sufferings that Paul is talking about right there in that verse when he says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time"? Well, there are several things that you know, therefore. Number one, they are of this present time. They are here. They're of this present time. They are running parallel, in a sense, to the existence of the dispensation of the grace of God. They're the sufferings of this present time. That means they are real. They are here. That means you can expect to experience them. They are the sufferings of this present time. You see, a walk of faith doesn't deny the reality and the existence of sufferings. A walk of faith, you know how sometimes you'll hear people talk about saying positive affirmations to yourself, kind of a concept, and I believe in positive thinking, I'm a positive person, right? But sometimes you hear people using positive affirmations to themselves that deny reality. You know, you broke your leg, and so you tell yourself, "Oh, I didn't break my leg. Everything's fine. I didn't break my leg." No, you broke your leg, okay? But a walk of faith and reckoning like God tells us to reckon doesn't deny the existence of the suffering. It doesn't deny the reality of the pain. It doesn't say that the sorrow and the tears, the crying, the hurt, the despondency, sometimes the depression, the despair, the anxiety. It doesn't say that those aren't real. They are real. They're very real. And to say that they're not real, that's not a walk of faith, to deny the reality of them. When he says, "I reckon that the sufferings of this present time," friends, they are here. So next time that you and I as believers experience that, perhaps you're experiencing it right now. Dan sent me an instant message this morning about one of the brothers who looks like he's joined us this morning, but is experiencing some health issues. It might be more than one, by the way. It could be a number of people listening. Listen, that's just the perishing of the outer man. It's the reality of the fact that we still live in this fallen creation, and that these bodies that we live in are part of the fallen creation. So given enough time, you know, you can try your best to stay in shape and eat good nutritious food and take vitamins, and I try to do all that, I'm sure you do as well. But given enough time, you know what? Physical death is still going to get your body. So between now and then, you're likely going to experience some kind of sufferings related to this present time. So a walk of faith doesn't deny that. And when you go through that suffering, and maybe you experience various emotional issues related to that suffering, maybe you can become discouraged, maybe you can become a little bit depressed or that type of thing, or filled with anxiety. Don't beat yourself up for experiencing those things. And don't feel like you've abandoned the faith if you have those things kind of run through your mind. It's just realize just what it is. It's just part of the sufferings of this present time. It's just part of the fact that we live in a fallen creation. And when he says it's the sufferings of this present time, you know what that means? That also means it's not going to last forever. While we are here in the body, we are absent from the Lord. And so in this we groan. In this present body we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. 2 Corinthians 5 says all that, right? Not only that, if you look at verse 23, Romans 8, 23, he says, not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves. There's an internal groaning that is connected to the fact that we experience the sufferings of this present time. There is a groaning that the whole creation experiences. Look at verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. You see, the curse has not been lifted from the creation yet. The kingdom's not here yet. The rapture hasn't occurred. You're still listening to my voice. You're still here, right? Jesus Christ has not returned and lifted the curse, removed sin, and so forth. And because that is the case, the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. It's still here. So one of the first things that's important for us to remember, that a walk of faith isn't going to deny the reality of the sufferings of this present time. It's going to say, they are here. And because we are here, we are going to experience the sufferings associated with the whole creation groaning and travailing in pain. The pain that is the result of the fall of not only Adam, but in particular, the curse put upon the creation. But something else we've got to understand. When he says at verse 18 there, he says, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time. You know what that means? This present time? That means it's not going to last forever. That means something's going to happen that's going to completely change the whole picture. And we'll talk about that here in a moment. What I want you to do is go back to 2 Corinthians 4. When he says that, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us, he helps us understand a little bit further how to look at this, how to chart this out or add this up. Look over to 2 Corinthians 4. Watch this. Verse 16. He says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish. Well, why does he perish? Because sin is resident in the flesh. The outward man is part of the old creation, not part of the new creation. See that? He's part of the fallen creation, so it's going to perish. Yet the inward man is renewed day by day. You see that? There's an outward part of you that is the material, the physical part. The inward man part of you is the non-material, the spiritual part. Sometimes when you say spiritual, sometimes people think it's not real. And that's why I say non-material. It's very, very real. Like angels. Angels are spirit beings, but they're very real. They're not non-real. They're not just figments of your imaginations and so forth. God is a spirit. He is very real, okay? The Holy Spirit is a spirit, very real. So when I say something is spiritual, I don't mean non-real. It's just non-material. It's not made of carbon. like your physical body is carbon-based. This, everything in this earth is made of carbon-based and so forth. See that? And so the inward part of you, that's the non-material, the spiritual part of you. That part of you that you can't see with your physical eyeballs or touch with your physical hands. But it's very, very real. All right? So the inward man is renewed day by day. Okay, now watch how he sets this up. Watch how he tells us to add this up. And therefore, how to reckon this. He says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. So one of the first things he sets in contrast is the duration of the sufferings compared to the duration of the glory. The sufferings relative to glory are but for a moment, while glory is eternal. It lasts forever. The next thing he does is he says, when you look at how heavy they feel, the burden that you experience when you are going through that suffering, he calls it a light affliction as compared to a weight of glory. And not just a weight of glory, a far more exceeding weight of glory. When you think about the sufferings that you experience, they weigh heavy on you. I know, and you know, they just can weigh heavy on your person, on your soul, on your emotion. They can drag you down. They can really impact. Even just your physical strength to get out and get up and go to work or go out and mow the lawn or just whatever, get up out of bed. There's a burden to you. But compared to the weight of glory, the exceeding weight of glory, that you're just not even worth it. In the light of the glory that you are going to bear, it just isn't even worthy to be put on the same page as the sufferings that you experience right now. He says, for our light, he calls it affliction. And you know what? That's what it is. It's an affliction. It afflicts you. It hurts you. It holds you back. It hinders you. But contrast that is glory. Isn't that amazing? I mean, everything is in contrast here. And that's why Paul is saying it's just not even worthy to be compared. In the light of the reality of the glory, it's eternal. It exceeds in its weight. The reality of it, when you think about it that way, and that is how God thinks about it, by the way. That's how He sees it. Then it has the ability. It doesn't take the sufferings away. It doesn't say they don't exist. It doesn't say they're not real. It puts it in its proper perspective. See, a walk of faith doesn't deny reality. It says, here's reality. Reality is, I am suffering. Reality is, it doesn't feel good. It hurts. It's painful. It's an affliction. It can get me down. It can weigh on my emotion. It is here, but it's just for this present time. And though it feels heavy, and though it feels like it goes on and on and on, and isn't that so? Whenever you feel sick, doesn't it seem like time slows down? And whenever you're having a great time, time seems to speed up and everything. So a walk of faith doesn't say that that stuff isn't real. It's very real. But a walk of faith says, wait a minute. I need to quote that verse, Romans 8:18. I need to quote that verse, Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. I need to think about that verse that talks about eternal glory, salvation with eternal glory. I need to think about that verse that says, when Christ who is alive shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory. I need to believe the Father, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's called the Father of glory. I need to believe that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. I need to think about and focus on and choose to set my heart upon those things. You see that? It doesn't take the suffering away. It doesn't make the pain less. It doesn't make the struggle. It doesn't say it isn't real. What it's able to do is able and does do exactly what verse 16 talks about, that though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. There's a renewing that goes on in your inward man. And then he says at verse 18, I'm still in 2 Corinthians 4, but I'm at verse 18 now. He says, while we look. See, you have to look at something, because you're going to look at something. See that? You got to focus on something because you're going to focus on something. While we look, not at the things which are seen. Don't focus on the temporary things. They vie for our attention because the pain is real. The affliction's there. It's very real. But we have to make a choice. While we look, not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Well, what things are not seen? Well, if you want to get a comparison, a sample of that, go to Colossians 1. You know the passage. Look at Colossians chapter 1, number 1. It says, for by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. There are some things that are not seen. There are many more than that, but those are pretty cool, right? The fact that Christ is the head of the body of Christ. Can you see that with your eyes? No, you have to see it with the eyes of your understanding. The fact that Jesus Christ has been set in the heavenly places far above all heavens. You can't see that, but you can see it by faith. The fact that you are in Christ. You can't see that with your physical eyeballs, but you can see it with the eye of faith. The fact that you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, that you're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, that you're accepted in the Beloved, that you are complete in Him, that you're raised and set together with Christ in the heavenly places. You can't see any of that stuff physically with the eyes of your physical, with your physical eyeballs. You see it with the eye of faith, because God says it is so. So by faith, you see it. You see it with the eyes, you understand. It's interesting that verse says, a wise man's eyes are in his head. Well, that's an interesting verse, because everybody's eyes are in their head. They're not in their foot, or your hand. Your eyeballs are in your head. Ah, but you go, wait. That verse is not talking about your eyeballs. It's talking about your spiritual eyes, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. You see that there? So here at 2 Corinthians 4:18, he says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal. But the things which are not seen are eternal. There it is right there. The things which are seen are temporal. That means that the sufferings of this present time is just temporary. That means that the pain is temporary. The anxiety is temporary. The affliction is temporary. Those emotional things that you experience, it's temporary. The struggles that you experience, it's just all temporary, friends. It's not going to last forever. But the things which are not seen are eternal. The things that you cannot now see with your physical eyeballs, the glory, that's eternal. Isn't that something to think about that? And that's what Paul is attempting to help us to understand here in our walk of faith as we and when we experience the sufferings of this present time. There's the verse. Scott posted the verse. The wise man's eyes are in his head. There it is, Ecclesiastes 2:14. You know, I just love that verse. It's such a great verse, you know. Sometimes you quote that, the first part of that verse to people, you say the wise man's eyes are in his head. And again, people kind of think, well, wait a minute, everybody's eyes are in their head. Yeah, but that's talking about the eyes of your understanding. Perception. You perceive things because God says things. You believe his word. Go back with me, if you would, to Romans chapter number 8 then. He says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And I love to compare that verse, the last statement of that verse, with Colossians chapter number 3, which we did look at this one last time too. Look at Colossians 3 and put these two verses together. See, Romans 8:18 says this, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Now, look at the last part of verse 17. The last part of verse 17 says this, that we may be also glorified together. Now, the last part of verse 18, the glory which shall be revealed in us. Now, the last part of verse 30, then he also glorified. Now, Colossians chapter 3, verse 4. Colossians 3, verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. There's the promise. There's the statement. There's the reality. So going back to the concept, Paul says, I reckon, here's Paul's thinking process as he adds everything up, as he adds up the sufferings that you experience, the reality that they have, the pain, the affliction, and the way that they impact you emotionally, physically, and it's just the present time. And then you add up the glory. It's eternal. It's in Christ. It's a wonderful, heavy burden, but not burden in a bad sense. Wonderful. It's a weight of glory. It excels and so forth. It lasts forever. It just isn't even worthy to compare the two. Now, it goes on to tell us, when he says the sufferings of this present time, he explains to us why it's here anyway. He says in verse 19, he says, For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. See, it's not yet manifest who the sons of God are. So the creature's waiting to find out. The creature's waiting for the show, if we can put it that way. Okay? The creature's waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. That's the earnest expectation of the creature. The earnest expectation, that's what he's looking for. To earnestly expect something, that's the doctrine of hope. Hope is earnest expectation. See, God says something, God makes a promise, so you can earnestly expect it to come to pass. Verse 20 says, for the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, so not of its own choice, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. The him there is God the Father. God subjected the creature to vanity, and he had a reason for doing it. See the reason? The fact that it says the reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. God subjected the creature to vanity with the earnest expectation that it would be liberated. He says in verse 21, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. That's an amazing verse, and there's a lot here. There's no way we're going to be able to get it all right now. But just understand this, that God subjected the creature to the bondage of corruption. And he did so on purpose. Not only did he not want the creature to be used to its full glory to glorify the rebellion, the purpose for which he created the creature anyway was to glorify Christ. So in subjecting the creature to the bondage of corruption, he limited the capacity of the adversary to be able to be glorified by the creature. And therefore, when God liberates the creature from the bondage of corruption, when he delivers the creature from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God, at which point that is when it will be the manifestation of the sons of God will be revealed, it will be to the glory of Christ, not to the glory of the adversary. That's why we're still in this bondage of corruption. That's why we still live in a fallen creation. That's why things are still under the curse right now. You see, remember what Colossians says? All things were created by Christ and for Christ. They were to have been to His glory. When the rebellion occurred, Satan falls. He wants to be like the Most High God. He wants to be the possessor of heaven and earth. He gains a part of the heavens, and he gains the earth. And God says, okay, fine, but I'm just not going to let you get glorified in all of that, because all that was created by Christ and for Christ. So God puts the creature under the bondage of corruption on purpose, for a reason. The reason is that the glory was to go to Christ, not the adversary. And he puts it under the bond of corruption in hope. With the confident hope, meaning the confident expectation that he was going to be delivered one day. I love the way that verse 19 and 20 go together like that, because he says, for the earnest expectation, well, that's the doctrine of hope. How does verse 20 end? The same in hope. You see that? This is all built around earnest expectation. God has a purpose. He has something he's doing. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious, not just the liberty of the children of God, but the glorious liberty. The liberty of the children of God, the liberty that is going to see the fulfillment of God's plan called glory. The glorification of Christ. That's why it's called the glorious liberty of the children of God. And he says, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. It's still here, friends. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the fruits of the first fruits of the Spirit. So even we ourselves, even those who are members of the body of Christ, even those who have the indwelling Holy Spirit, even those who are sealed by the Spirit of promise, even we ourselves grown within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to it, the redemption of our body. See, we're waiting for the adoption. We don't have it yet. We're waiting for the redemption of our body. We don't have that glorified body yet. We're waiting for that thing. And because that is so, that means we still live in this physical bodies that are part of the fallen creation and hence still under the curse. Verse 23 is a very edifying verse in a number of ways, but something that stands out is that let me say it this way. In the health, wealth, prosperity doctrine and gospel, they teach the concept that if only you had enough faith and believed God enough and hard enough and strong enough, then you would be healthy and wealthy and wise. See that? But think about what this verse is saying. It says, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves. So even the believer who has the indwelling Holy Spirit, even the believer still does groan within ourselves, waiting. He said, even we experience the pain. Even we experience the suffering of this fallen creation. Even we experience the sufferings of this present time. By God giving us the Holy Spirit, He didn't shield us from experiencing living in a fallen creation. He gave us a lot of other things by giving us the Holy Spirit. But by giving us the Holy Spirit, He did promise the adoption. He's called the Spirit of Adoption back in verse 15. The Spirit of Adoption. See that? Well, listen, we're out of time here. We have so much more yet to go over. So we will pick up along here next week. Let's open this up to see if anyone has any questions or comments or thoughts or verses to share. If you do, just click on the raise hand icon and we'll give you the microphone. Trophimus, how are you doing today? Give me just a moment here. Let's do this. Okay, ready? Here you go with the microphone.
Good morning, John. First off, I'd like to just praise the Lord and thank you. This is such a timely message. I've been experiencing a lot of discomfort and pain these last few months, along with some financial difficulties and such. And I tell you, I've turned to the Scriptures for my comfort, you know, and especially these passages that you have been so aptly commenting on this morning. Also, go to 1 Corinthians 10:13. There is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. You know, last night I find myself couldn't sleep, pain and whatnot, and I'm reading my Bible, and I'm looking at the very passages that you've been going over, 2 Corinthians 4. I'm looking by death one man entered into this, you know, in this sin entered into the world, and death by one man, and I'm looking for the comfort that I derive from God's Word. And I find that solace there, and I just wanted to share that testimony. It's been a difficult couple months, and it seemed like one thing after another. And I got to share a little good story here at the end. Well, you were preaching this morning. My brakes went out on my right rear on my car, and I don't have the resources to repair the car. And I'm wondering, well, what are you going to do next? I'm sick. I can't take care of my yard. I'm going through all these different things, and I'm thinking, well, Lord, something's got to give here. And lo and behold, while you're preaching, my neighbor's calling me. I have my computer in the back room, which was broken and just fixed, thank God. And Frank, and I come out, and he says, I fixed your brakes. While you were preaching, he had jacked up my car, and I don't know how he did it. So he got my brakes working, and it just took such... I was just so amazed. Thank you, Lord. And so, again, it just fits so aptly. The sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. And your explanation of the creation waiteth in hope, earnest expectation, I just love that explanation because it shows... That what we're allowed to go through has a purpose. It's not for no purpose. And in spite of how you feel, I mean, I was listening to Rich's depression tapes last night. So, you know, self-pity is a sin, and I won't dwell in it. And we have a choice. And we can be grateful instead of murmuring and complaining. And again, thank you, John, because your ministry has been an aid to me, and I'm sure as others in this room. And that's all. Thank you.
Well, hey, Trophimus, thank you so very much for sharing that very, very personal testimony with each and every one of us. In many ways, we can relate. In many ways, we can't. Because it is hard sometimes to relate to someone who experiences a lot of suffering if you have never experienced suffering yourself. And you know theoretically the verses are real. You know you can trust God's word, but it is amazing how that it's almost like you have to go through various kinds of sufferings before you can really empathize and therefore relate to someone else that experiences sufferings. And so I know it was a very personal thank you to be able to take a few minutes just to share about the experiences that you've been having the last several months. And you're right. I mean, sometimes it one thing comes and another and another and another. I think you may need to change your Pal Talk name to Job, okay, or something like that. But also that's wonderful that your neighbor was able to come along and actually help you out, fix your brakes. That's a wonderful testimony. That's kind of cool for him to be able to do that. And so thanks for taking the time to share that. And yes, it is. There's something about the sufferings that we experience. While God himself doesn't send the sufferings, while he's not manipulating the circumstances to cause the sufferings, because he doesn't have to, I mean, the sufferings are here, right? Nevertheless, he does tell us in his word, you know what, I can take and use that. It worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. So the believer has got the tremendous resources of the Word of God to go to. And it is when we are in need and when we recognize that need of comfort, encouragement, and edification, that's when we most often go to the Word of God. Otherwise, we in our flesh, we tend to think I can do it by myself. So thanks, Trophimus, for sharing that very personal word of testimony with us. We certainly will keep you in our prayers. And again, thanks for taking the time to share that with us. Anyone else here have any thoughts or comments, things you'd like to maybe share with us? Scott, here you go. I see your hand up there. Here you go.
Thank you, John, and thank you, Frank. I hope you guys can hear me here. Gosh, what kept ringing through my mind was perspective. You know, just like you mentioned a couple weeks back, John, about, in motocross riding, you look to where you go, not where you're at. And I think the Lord Jesus Christ, when he said, he for the hope that was set before him, he endured the cross. I know I'm not quoting it just right, but, for the joy that was set before him, I mean, he endured that cross. I mean, I think when we get our eyes off of the glory that's going to be revealed in us, it's easy to, it's just excellent message, sir. Thank you so much. I appreciate it, man. That was fantastic. Excellent. And Frank, I love you, buddy. Thank you too, man, for your testimony there. Thank you.
Hey, Scott. Yes, thanks for sharing that with us as well. And you're right, that verse talks about Christ. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. And that's what he was able to do, to focus on that glory, focus on that kingdom. And so you and I, by coming back to the Word, reading the verse of how many, Frank, if I was to ask you, how many times have you read Romans 8:18? How many times have you read Romans 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 16 to 19 there? I mean, everyone listening right now to my voice, how many times have we all read that? Well, a number of times, right? Yeah, I can't tell you how many times, and yet we still need to. We got to come back to him. We got to come and camp on those verses. How many times have you eaten food? Well, you see that? You got to keep coming back. We just have to keep telling. I've got to get back to the Word of God, back trusting God's Word, getting back to the Scripture. By the way, let me use kind of a parallel here if I can. And then again, if someone else has a comment or a couple of verses you want to share, that type of thing, please put your hand up. We'll give you the mic. But for those of you that are reading in the zone right now, you're in the book of Psalms, right? And so you should be close to around Psalm 66, 67, along in there by the end of the day today. But let's say you're in Psalms right now. Have you noticed how often, how many times, especially in the first part of Psalms, how David, who is the one who wrote most of the Psalms and everything, how often he writes those Psalms from a heavy, heavy heart, a burdened heart, an afflicted heart. How often he says things like, Lord, when I was in trouble, then I called unto you and you heard me. How often you see David in Psalms that are describing not just the emotional internal struggles that he was having, but the impact that actually was manifesting in his external physical body. And consistently he kept writing about how that he needed to get back to God. He has to get back to the Word of God. He has to come and trust the Lord, trust his Word, trust God. God is the hope of my salvation. God is my rock. God is my life, my fortress, my high tower, my shield, my buckler. And so how he just kept saying that again. And if that was not only true for David, one of the greatest generals and certainly one of the greatest kings in Israel, he had some other issues, but, so do you and so do I. But boy, for him, just you see that pattern in Psalms, how even in that affliction, it was amazing. And so for you and me, we see in Paul's epistles how he talks about just the outer man perishes, the inward man is renewed. So both Frank and Scott, thanks for taking the time to share those things with us. So, all right, well, I don't see any other hands up at this point. Let's close in a word of prayer, and then we'll dismiss the class. Our gracious God and Father, we thank you that we have your word, that we can read it and study it, believe it, and come back to it again and again and again and again. Like Job says, we've considered your word more than our necessary food. Boy, and it's when we're hungry that we go to the kitchen and get some food. Spiritually, it's when we're hungry, God, that we realize we need to go and open up the refrigerator door of your word and let the nutrients of the food of the word of God come into our soul. We do pray for Frank right now. We all collectively pray for him, knowing he's been going through a lot of issues the last several months, and not exactly sure from an external standpoint of how some of these things will be solved and taken care of. But with the confidence and assurance of what your word brings, that we know from an inner man standpoint, that your word, fellowship with you, and the body of Christ, fellowship with one another, that that's truly what comforts each and every one of us. So we just pray for him and for ourselves. All of us, we pray collectively for ourselves, collectively as a group here, the fellowship of the mystery, that we might rejoice in that. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen. Thanks for being with us. Have a great rest of your day. We'll see you tonight for our continuing study in Matthew. Bye-bye now.